Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS first quarter 2016 financial results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. This is the first quarter result highlights, which basically are, I think, very good. We are posting still a strong sales trend, mostly driven by network expansion. Better to say since the beginning that in this first quarter, weather has not been helpful. And in spite of this, the like-for-like, which we never communicate, is anyway okay. This is what I said a few weeks ago to some investors, so I'm happy to confirm to you. So the underlying like-for-like is okay, but the sales comes from the network expansion, basically. There has been 56 new stores, of which 9 are full format. The market share continue growing. The market is still weak. The EBITDA is growing by 12%, driven by a good gross margin. As anticipated, we are not suffering any gross margin issue. Still good operating leverage and cost control generate good EBITDA and even better progression at EBIT level. In page 3, I can walk you through the main figure, which are basically the confirmation that the gross margin is growing compared to last year. EBITDA goes up from 8.3% to 8.8%. The first quarter is the less profitable in terms of EBITDA margin because of a seasonal reason. Basically, the reason for the gross margin improvement comes on one side from a good intake. So, as anticipated, we are not facing any major negative trend in raw material and dollar, which is more or less stable now. So we are not having a major headwind on the intake margin. On the contrary, we have been able to take advantage from some further delocalization from China to other countries that is contributing to a better intake margin. Profit before taxes is growing 128% compared to last year. Maybe the percentage is meaningless, but basically this is due to the much lower financial expenses and the positive operating result. In terms of breakdown of sales, we are growing both in the franchising and in the directly operated stores, and we are growing mostly in OVS at this time in terms of top line, because Upim, which is growing only basically, which is flat, is the combination of a positive like-for-like and the closure of two or three stores, which are kind of a tail of the former network after the conversion has been made from Bernardi to Upim. So this should represent the last two or three stores to be closed. And EBITDA-wise, the growth is good for OVS. I would say great for Upim, which is growing by 30% in terms of EBITDA. At page 5, the working capital continues to be under control. There is an inventory turn, which is improving compared to last year. same inventory in spite of an higher number of square meter. Accounts payable a little bit down as a result mostly of the payment of some capex which has been made last year, referring logistic and IT changes. So nothing related to DPO of payables, which remains where they were. So unchanged. Page 6, capex are in line with the expectation and mostly generated by new openings. So almost 60% of the capex has been generated by new openings. In page 7, we see the leverage, which is decreasing from 2.2 to 1.8, and the interest rate, which is declining from 3% to 2.3%, so another improvement and good contribution to the final profitability of the company. In page 8, I think I would avoid making comments to this chart, which is full of figure. I think that most of the changes refers to the IPO. And then there is this negative change in the mark-to-market derivatives, which has not having a real impact on cash, but which is accounted like if it is cash. And finally, the comment regarding the target, which remain unchanged, not only in terms of growth, but in terms of EBITDA for the full year. May has been negative, so I might expect that some is arguing about May, which has been very negative from a weather point of view. We already disclosed that it was not favorable. In spite of this, we believe that all the target for the full year, all the main target for the full year will be achieved. We are receiving some positive contribution from openings which are performing better than expected on average. Even the last opening in Arese, where Primark opened, I was visiting the shopping mall today, and I visited our store in Arese today. We supposed to be hit more than we have been by the competition with Primark in the same shopping mall, and the actual figures generated by our store are lower compared to what they should have been without Primark, but higher than our forecast. So in other words, we are very happy about the performance of our store into this new shopping mall where we are competing directly against Primark. The expansion plan is solid. The visibility of the pipeline is fine. So we are continuing opening even after the first quarter. And as of today, at halfway in the second quarter, we have opened 14 stores in the new 1 month and a half, and three of them being DOS, bringing the total number of DOS at 12, I think. So we are perfectly in line with our opening plan for the full year. Finally, one comment on Arts of Italy. I think that our company is continuously paying a lot of attention to the brand equity. The brand is important. And when the internet is becoming more important, maybe not in Italy as of now, I do believe that being able to improve the merchandising and creating a brand for a company that maybe 5-6 years ago was a banner and not a brand is creating value even in the medium term. We had a great press coverage thanks to this initiative, which has been aimed at valorizing making the Italian masterpiece, some Italian masterpieces better known and which aimed to create a crowdfunding in order to dedicate part of the profit which we have achieved by selling these garments, which has been inspired to Italian monuments, to the refurbishment of the same monuments. So I think that we are fine with the first quarter. Not easy, but being able to sustain the growth and to post this result, even in a, weatherly speaking, not favorable environment, and I'm also speaking about May, without changing our view on the full year, is an evidence that the company has achieved not only a great awareness and efficiency, but also a good capacity to perform in spite of the external condition. Okay, thank you. So happy to hand you the words for questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Fazzari of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. Two questions, please. The first one is about the underlying trends, the like-for-like growth. If the OVS brand underlying growth was better than the underlying growth of the Upim brand. And the second one is if you can comment something about the trend of the women's wear, teenagers, so just to have more feeling of what is the what are the best seller inside the group. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. Unfortunately, on the first part of the question, I cannot give you a full answer like maybe you might ask, but to give some color, I can tell you that the like-for-like of Upim is slightly better than the like-for-like of OVS in the first Q. And that regarding the second question, I may tell you that the best performer has been kids and the men. Women is slightly lower. This is mainly true in the very beginning of the season, and in the second part, so in the months of March and April, woman has recovered, and today woman is performing better than men and kids. So at the end of the story, no major, if you take the 4.5 months as of now, not major discrepancy between the performance of the three categories.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Letti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I got just one question. One is related to the DOS, the food flagship for this year, if you are still confident opening 38 to 40 DOS, as you mentioned in the last conference call. And just a curiosity, if you got already some visibility on, let's say, location for next year, still a flagship level. Thank you.
So if I understood correctly, you asked me if I am still confident to open between 30 and 40 full format DOS this year. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Probably. Maybe something more, including Upim, because last year I didn't open Upim. I wanted to be convinced that the format was achieving the right level of profitability, and given that seems that we have now arrived at the level where Upim is solidly positive, I started also looking for location at Upim level, which means that we might have some more opening than expected in the full year. As far as concerned the flagship, we are very happy with the performance of the biggest store, I told you before that the new opening are performing better than expected, and I would say that the flagship that we opened or that we have refurbished are not many has been refurbished, to be honest, but only one in Rome, are performing much better than expected. One for all, we opened 1 month ago, more or less 1 month ago, in Verona, Via Mazzini, which is one of the most important commercial streets of Europe. We opened a 2,500, more or less, 2,300 square meter store just near Zara. The sales of this store, which is three floors, ground floor women, first floor men, and third floor kids, the store, you could say it's not as distant from, not as different from Corso Buenos Aires store in Milan. This store in Verona is outperforming by 30%, 30% compared to our original estimation. And what is more important for me to notice is that given that this street is a very touristic street with a lot of young boys and girls, we are surprised to notice that the young component of our assortment is outperforming by far the adult, which means to me that OVS has become able, as of today, to compete not only as a good alternative to anyone when you consider OVS as a family brand, but also to be very attractive when the store is located in a touristic area and when the store speaks a little bit women, because the entire ground floor is women in this case, and most of it is young, the store can be very performing, can perform very much even when most of the customers are young international tourists, like it is the case in Verona. So happy to say that we have now two very important flagship, which are a way for the brand to be exposed to the international visibility. One is Milan, Corso Buenos Aires. Then also we have Milano Via Dante, which is not as big. We have Milano Via Torino. And now we have the second biggest flagship, which is Verona, Via Mazzini, where we are extremely happy with the results.
And I was wondering if you got already some visibility on full flagship location or full DOS format location for next year. Was it too early?
For next year, we are still working in Rome. We are discussing with one landlord about one great location in Rome. Could be comparable to Corso Buenos Aires. If not, we will refurbish the store that we have in. It's a great store that we have in Via del Tritone, just in front of the new Rinascente. So if we will have this flagship that we are still negotiating, good or great. If not, we will in any case convert our better store in Rome, which is in terms of location, which is Via del Tritone. In this case, not great, but at least good. Then we are discussing several other locations. Some of them are very good, maybe not flagship, but very good. One important comment is that, and this is always in the sense that the new format of OVS, big surface, is working well, and this is important for OVS in general, not only for today, but also for the future, and possibly for a future expansion also out of Italy. Interesting to point out that the few store that has been converted from Coin to OVS, which are top location downtown and big size, the biggest is Pisa, which is about 2,000 square meter in the pedestrian area of Pisa, are performing 30% higher than under the Coin brand, in spite of the high productivity of Coin driven by the perfumery. So we are very happy in general with a bigger flagship. And as of today, we have at least four or five great stores, including these Coin conversions, that are making OVS more high quality than in the past.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Simon Irwin of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A few questions for you. Firstly, are there any potential bolt-on acquisitions likely in the next few months?
Yeah, there might be one acquisition, which is a Combipel. This potential acquisition has been disclosed by some press that made some speculation, and given that Italy is, to be honest, not the only country, but is a country where it is very difficult to keep secrets, I preferred to tell the journalists that I do not exclude, also because I wanted to give a certain message to the owner of Combipel. A process is undergoing. We declared our interest, obviously not at any price. In case we would make this acquisition, we are referring to a very high quality network, 120 stores, more or less, 800, 900, 1,000 square meter each. Very good location. I know the stores very well because the company, the brand and the company is in the market since many years. It was a private company founded by an Italian entrepreneur that was really good in selecting retail space. Now the owner is Oaktree. The brand is Combipel. The brand is not interesting for us, and the only reason why we should consider this acquisition is for store conversion, as in the past. Obviously, there would be synergies because the headquarters are located in a place which is inconvenient in terms of logistics, in terms of recruiting people, and basically, even in absence of top-line synergies, which I think is all the time prudent to consider, there would be a great value creation. Then, once you consider that the brand of this company is really unperforming and basically has been forgotten almost by most of the Italian customer, and our brand is quite in good shape in this moment, I could assume that some top-line synergies would be applicable, even considering that this company, which is a family brand, has not a presence in the kids. So only assuming that we will convert their store and will introduce, as in every OVS store, the kids, there will be a great uplift. Very little overlapping, because the store that will not be eligible to be converted into OVS will be converted into UPIM. So this is what I can say as of now.
And do you have enough capacity in the Piacenza warehouse to cope with a significant bolt-on acquisition?
Yes, because, first of all, the company turnover is something more than 200 million, so not a gigantic amount. So it's 7% of our turnover, more or less. After the acquisition of UPIM made 5 years ago, we decided to utilize the UPIM warehousing capacity that was much higher compared to their need and our need combined. So today we have at least a 30% production capacity available, so no issue on that side.
Great, thank you. And could you just talk a little bit about the about gross margins? Your comment, obviously, about them being strong. Does that include? Is that on a blended basis, or is that just within the DOS channel, or does that include the obviously the mix effect from franchise?
The gross margin is improving even at DOS level. So independently from the blender, at DOS level, the gross margin is improving as a result of the component that I was mentioning before. So
yep.
Intake margin, which has been 0.5% higher than last year, and this has been a decision that was coming with the very weak situation that many vendors are facing, which is obliging them to accept good trading condition, good for the buyer. I mean, especially if the buyer is a company which is growing and delivering grow every year. So this is extremely important in this period. If you are a company that has a trajectory of growth, and this trajectory is consistent in the years, like in our case, the negotiation power is really becoming a distinctive factor, I would say. So the combination of still weak oil, still stable dollar, still weak inflation in China, and the increase of production sourcing from Bangladesh, Vietnam, Cambodia, and the raw material environment is still very, 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 very soft nowadays. So the gross margin comes from better intake, as I elaborated, and also better stock management driven by the operational improvements. So we were envisaging that we should have been able to improve the margin because of this. This is the case in the first Q. So this is what I can say. I hope I have been able to answer decently to your question.
Yep, thank you. And then in terms of the your hedging position for the year, you've given us good clarity on the full year hedging position. How does that change as we go through the quarters? Is it pretty steady, or does it change materially between the various quarters this year?
Well, I would say this is quite steady, quite stable, even for the next quarter. So unless Nicola has something to add, I think that I might say that it's going to be stable.
Great.
Very stable for the cost.
Thank you, Nicola. And just one little question. Within your P&L, there's a reasonably significant line, which is other operating income. Could you share that with us for the quarter? Obviously, we had it for 1Q last year.
Nicola, can you help me on this question?
It was 13.1 million last year.
These are mainly related to space that we sublet to third parties, sometimes on a very long relationship, especially in UPIM, sometimes also on tactical agreement, especially during some momentum across the year. We are speaking about some corner like kits or kits. Hardwood or shoes or accessories or during the Christmas time some decoration, something like that.
Yeah, could you just give us the number for 1Q?
Oh. I don't know if I have in front of me the same line because I have a different report in front of me. It's more an accounting report. I will send to you the figures.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Nicola.
There is no significant deviation compared to last year.
Okay.
See, let me only add, for the sake of clarity, that on one side, there's not a material change versus last year. And when Nicola says tactics, I would, sorry, Nicola, maybe correct by saying that these are consistent and seasonal. So basically what happened is that there is a great appetite for the space into OVS stores, and anytime a certain product category is not a product category where we are really focused, like Christmas decoration, for instance, or like umbrellas, or like eyewears, we have from time to time, but regularly, like concessions based. So most of these revenues depends from concessions, and if we would like, we might have much more today. The question is that I don't want to have too many, because I need to be consistent within the store. So if you are more familiar with Topshop, for instance, they have Freedom, which is a brand for small jewelry, which is probably giving to them operating profit, like concession fees. We have the same, with the same supplier of Topshop, we have a different brand in Italy, and we have three or four types of these, because the small jewelry is not something that we want to make internally. We prefer to have smart producers with smart merchandising, and we rent to them some space, and this generates these revenues, which are consistent from year to year.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. A few questions from my side as well. The first one is on the competitive environment. You already mentioned something about the Primark opening in Italy, but I was just wondering if you can give us a broader picture, so taking into account other retailers, and for example, if you are seeing any disruptive behavior on pricing, for example, so if you see significant deflationary pressure. And the other question is on the Combipel deal, if I may, just if you can give us when the disposal process should be over. And if, in case you finalize this acquisition, if you think it could be digested, Combipel, as quick as you did with UPIM. Thank you.
Competitive positioning, competitive landscape, I think that the only change refers to Primark. What I may say, which is interesting for me and probably for you, is that after the opening, we have noticed and we were eager to notice which were the effect of this opening, not only in the store that I have opened in the same shopping mall, but also in three stores which I have within the 10 minute by car catchment areas. What happened is that the turnover which I have lost on the three remaining store has been about 7% as of now. So less than we estimated when we calculated during the IPO, for the one of you that has been exposed to this comment, the estimated vulneration across all Italy. So seems that OVS customers are very resilient. They like our combination of quality and prices. And because we are not really a young girl company, but we are a family with a lot of attention to the kids, where the mother wants to buy cheap, but they also want to buy quality because of the care that they have with the children. We are reducing the vulneration compared to our original estimation, number one. Other new things in the competitive landscape, I would say no. Maybe the most important is the the CombiPlex situation, a competitor will probably disappear. We know that Piazza Italia is not performing very well. We believe that H&M is not booming anymore in Italy, but this is not official. So I would say that nothing materially different from last year is happening, with the exclusion of Primark, whose effect is probably lower than expected. Today I was visiting this shopping mall and I spoke with the founder of this shopping mall. You might know him, is Mr. Brunelli, which introduced to me all his team. And I asked, how is Primark doing and what do you think we'll do in the next stores in Italy? And they said, here Primark is doing very well, but this shopping mall is representing a huge catchment area. We believe, this is what they said, not what I said, we believe that the Primark performance across other locations will not be as satisfactory for them like it is here, because Milan is quite big, and so this shopping mall is the biggest around Milan and very well done. As far as concern CombiPel, I think the question was regarding the timing, is it?
Yes, that's correct. And how quick you think you can integrate CombiPel?
The timing will depend from the price that we agreed to pay, if any, and so. But in principle, could be not a very long story. We know everything of CombiPel. We know the stores very well. We know the accounts because we had already paid attention in the past to the company. In terms of timing to transform and to digest, I say then every acquisition has its own history, but on paper, it would be extremely easier compared to UPIM, because in the UPIM case we had to shut down a headquarters, but we had to keep in place all the sourcing and also commercial activities, because UPIM didn't disappear as a brand. But if we should buy CombiPel, the CombiPel brand would disappear. So the downsizing will be one-off, and we don't need to replace this cost somewhere else, because we don't need to keep the brand alive. So much faster and much simpler.
Okay. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
The next question is from Roberto Bogoni of Libra London. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to ask you if you can give us more information with regard to the international expansion, also on the back of the gentleman you hired, if I remember where he was, the manager of Gap Europe.
Yeah. So what I can say is, on one side, in the three areas where we have an interest, which are Spain, Balkans, and Saudi Arabia, we are performing very well. So all our stores are like-for-like positive, and if we have some negative, it is only because of a peculiar condition that I'm not really well-informed, probably, but everything is doing well. In terms of new opening, we are opening in 2015, in line with our expectation, mostly kids store, but also the first full format are about to be opened. There will be a couple in the next couple of months, and if I'm not wrong, and more broadly in terms of plan for the next quarters and the effects of this gentleman, which is our new, call it vice president for international expansion, we are very happy because we are meeting a lot of former GAP and not only GAP customers, which are considering to introduce in their respective countries OBS. We have several opportunities in Spain. One could be very important, and I can't disclose anymore, and could be an existing network that could be converted into OBS stores. So not an acquisition, but a general franchise. Very good connection he has in Saudi Arabia, where with a very important partner, which is already distributing GAP and other important brands, there will be two full format openings in the next month. In Iran, we are about to sign. Our team made a visit to two potential partners, and we are speaking about franchise agreement also in this case. So I'm happy, and several opportunities are coming and are presently under discussion.
I see. And if I may, one additional question. When you look forward to a couple of years ahead, how much do you think that international could represent in terms of total sales?
What I have in mind, because the question is very generic, I can give you a very generic answer. I strongly believe that this company today has a unique, has a great, call it great merchandising. Very few companies worldwide has such a breadth of assortment, super strong in kids, strong in men, strong in women, adult and young. And given that most of the great retailer, Zara and H&M namely, are only considering a vertical integrated strategy, OVS could be a smart outsider. I think that in the future, if we are good and lucky, we will find a good footprint across Europe with very weak merchandising. And in this case, given that every company has to try to focus on its own core competencies, I do believe when I compare my company with many other European companies, I do believe that we could combine some good network, which I think I've already envisaged in Europe, with our good merchandising. In this case, I'm not thinking to acquisitions, or not necessarily to acquisition, but I'm thinking to strategic agreement. If one or two ideas that I have in mind will go in the right direction, we might have 30% of turnover generated out of Italy in 2 years.
And one very last thing, if I may, which is connected to this. There was an article end of April, I think it was La Repubblica, where you had an interview, and answering one of the last questions from the journalist, you said that you were not excluding to diversify to a higher competitive positioning. Now, is this related to the international expansion? Where
It is related to the fact that looking to what happened to other companies, you can always learn. One thing I'm learning from Convipel, with a very weak brand, is that they decided to open 20 store, only men, and in Italy, we are by far the strongest, I do believe, in our price range in men. I cannot say the same for the women, because we have a lot of strong competitors in the women, starting from H&M, which is which is giving to the customer the same prices than OVS, and I cannot say that I'm stronger than H&M. But I can say that I'm stronger than H&M and any other competitor in men. And surprisingly, Combifel decided to open 20 men stores. The prices are not interesting, are much higher than our prices, and the performance is very good. I was thinking to something similar. So in the future, we might have maybe 20 stores, only men, maybe at 20% or 30% higher prices. Nothing to do with changing positioning radically. It is only an opportunity, but this is not on the radar today and neither tomorrow, to be honest.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Paul Rossington of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gents. Apologies, I joined the call a little late. This question may have been answered, but if you're getting such strong returns or performances on sales from new stores or refurbished stores, why are you not investing more in refurbishing the rest of the estate? Thank you.
Why? Sorry, I misunderstood. Why I don't invest more in
the remainder of the estate, the existing estate? I understand some of the stores look a little bit tired. They could do with some investment.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. One element of the strategy is that we have to, because we take a lot of advantage from store refurbishment, we will invest also in store refurbishment. But on one side, if we speak purely on a financial basis, the return of a newly opened store is higher than the return on an existing store. And this is why, and also because of the consolidation trend in Italy, I don't want to invest too much capex in refurbishments, which is good, but not great in terms of financial results. When I can invest the same capex by opening new stores where the payback is 18 months or 20, when the payback for the refurbished store is 24 or 36 maybe. But what we are trying to do in these months is to have a new approach with the lender. You have been guided by us on the renegotiation that we regularly make with the lender in order to realign gradually the global level of rent to the lower market value of the real estate in Italy. We are working also on an alternative in some cases to this plan. We are meeting some real estate owners which are having great stores that we want to refurbish, and we suggest them to invest in the capex for the store refurbishment in exchange of a higher rent. So this is a win-win because they will have a higher value for the real estate and we will have a much higher turnover, and our cost will be only variable and the capex will not be sustained by us. We have on our radar, if I may say, 70 stores that we are starting entering in negotiation with the lender now, and if let's suppose 50% of this store, of this landlord, would accept our proposal, we might have 35 store times 15% growth, 35 to million. 35, 70 million times 15 is about 12 million incremental turnover, and about 40% EBITDA, because we don't have any other incremental cost increase. So maybe 5, 6 million incremental EBITDA generated by this. So we will keep you posted.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone.
I think that if no other question is coming, we can conclude the conference.
Yes.
Mr. Berardo, okay. There are no more questions registered.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Good afternoon.